All right. So peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host this evening. So if this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few of the ground rules for how we manage these calls. It usually lasts for about 2 hours. But if we're going to wrap it up early, we can. I was down for a few weeks, and I just took some pills for it now. So hopefully I can fit through this whole call. So let me just say in advance that we appreciate you coming to hang out with us tonight. So I hope you're feeling inspired and empowered because you are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together for the purposes of discussing solutions to many of the problems we face in our Black community. If you remember when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address one another as such is to show you respect and to form a bond of solidarity. So during these calls, there are three topics that we try to stay away from. We don't discuss religion. We don't discuss the Black male-female dynamic, like relationships, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to our people and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party didn't do that, because we will be here all night arguing, going around in circles and not making any progress. So really briefly, let me just tell you what this organization is about. Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix problems in the Black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the Black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spend $1.3 to $1.4 trillion a year. So if we were to just capture a fraction of that money, pool our resources, and start investing in businesses and our people, then we can make a major impact on the problems that we have in our community. This is a form of capitalism. This is the way that money is managed here in America. This is the economic system that we have here. You may not like the system because we aren't faring too well, but the best thing for us to do is to get really good and understanding how it works and then using it to our benefit. So that's the purpose of what Black Wallets Matter is. Our purpose is to pool our resources. It is to make strategic investment in businesses and then eventually make investment in our people. So what I mean by that, so for businesses, for instance, this organization, we want to pay attention to existing behavior, right? So some of the things that we already do as a people that we don't need to be convinced and influenced, and that is shopping, that right? We're the number one consumers in this country. And so what this organization wants to do is we want to roll out a shopping portal. We want to roll out a shopping app and websites and things like that. That will allow you, whenever, whatever store you so decide to patronize, Walmart, Target, Sears, whatever it is that you go to, there is a way that this organization can get a fraction of that money that goes out. And once that money comes, it doesn't cost you anything extra. Once we're able to capture a fraction of that money, pool our resources, the next thing that we want to do as an organization is we want to buy a larger business, right? And so that business can take the form of a transportation company, or it could be a supermarket, or we were talking about trying to form like national landscaping companies and junk removal companies. All of these types of businesses are multi-million dollar and multi-billion dollar industries. And the problem, the biggest problem that we have as a people is that we do not control one specific type of industry. We have entertainment, we have sports, but we don't have anything productive where masses of our brothers and sisters can be put to work. So that's what this organization wants to do. We want to purchase types. We want to get involved in these industries where we can put a lot of our brothers and sisters to work. Like I said, transportation, supermarkets, and, some of these other type of service businesses. From that point, how we will start reinvesting in our people, how we will actually start making change, is we will start rolling out community resource centers. I am a product of an urban environment. I grew up poor. I grew up in the hood. But I remember when I was coming up, I remember that they had a community center. So when I walked out my front door, I was able to go down to the center. I was able to get like free lunch. I was able to do crafts. I was able to do all kinds of things. So this was like in the 70s and the late 70s, early 80s. Somewhere, somehow, but I mean, mid 80s, late 80s, when crack took hold, the community centers were gone, right? And instead of little guys coming outside and having something to do, someplace to go to stay out of trouble, you just hung out on the street and you wind up selling drugs, robbing people, and getting in all kinds of trouble. I remember that. My value system is totally different from the brothers and sisters that grew up just like a few years after me. And I'm able to witness that, and I realize it's because growing up at the time that I did, we had a community vibe. We had the type of environment where if your child was doing something bad, the neighbor could smack the kid upside the head and take him to the mother and say, "Hey, listen, this is what he's doing." We had those community centers where someone's grandmother was probably in there, you know, making the sandwiches and doing everything. Somebody else's sister or whoever was the one, you know, teaching people to do crafts or whatever. We had that community vibe. We had that love. We had a stronger bond of trust as a people. And we had unity. So we all know that one of the major problems we have is the lack of unity. And so what I want to do is I want to go out and recreate that, because I can remember the distinction of when I grew up and life was like that, and then I remember after crack hit, and I remember that the only things for you to do when you come outside was to get in trouble. If you look at our youth right now, they come outside, they are totally and completely lost. And this has been going on for generations. No, this has been going on for about maybe two generations, because we're almost on another 20 years, right? So this has been going on about two generations. Our people are totally, completely lost. We have babies raising babies. We have people who have no home training. We have all kinds of problems. So what we want to do is we want to go back to our traditional roots of it takes a village. That's an old African proverb. We want to go and create these community resource centers where these children are able to get that structure that they need, where they're able to learn about their culture, learn about who they truly are, but also prepare them for what's going on in this modern society. So we want to help these children learn, understand technology, teach them computer programming, teach them about, you know, introduce them to the IT field and things like that. We also want to introduce them to a different cultural understanding of what it means to be black, right? So we want to teach them things like black people help one another, black people invest in one another. You know, all the negative traits that we have now, we want to totally eliminate that. And so the beauty of it is when you work with children, you don't have to change the child's mind. You can actually shape the child's mind. Right. And so the child will never know any of the negative things that we experience. And so what happens is, as you have generations and generations of young black men and women growing up with these positive traits and these positive attributes, as they meet one another when they get older, that becomes the new black culture. We have to start embracing productivity and cooperation amongst ourselves. That's what every single other ethnic group does. That's exactly what they do. I just recently had a bunch of Mexican guys come and work on my house. These guys were, so it was like about three or four different crews, right? So I'm doing like the spring cleanup and all this other stuff. Three or four different crews. I watched this guy, the first guy that I actually knew, as I kept saying, "All right, listen, I want my pavers fixed. I want my patio this. I want, you know, this done. I want this done." This guy was just picking up the phone, calling, and I mean, like, pickup trucks were just coming around the corner in like a few minutes. And then when it was all said and done, what they did, after I paid the first guy, he went to the side and he broke off bread with the rest of the other people. He gave them money. He gave them a portion of the money. And so I watched them. So it was like two or three days. When it was lunchtime, they just sat on the side of my house in the shade. Somebody brought out one cooler. Another one brought out some kind of drinks or whatever, and they just sat there and they shared the food communally. Now, the guy who was doing my pavers, he was, you know, doing the bricks and stuff, he stayed the longest. I spoke with him the day after. I say, so all you guys always work together? He said, no. He said, I don't even know those other guys. I said, you don't know them? I said, but y'all were all sitting there eating food together and, you know, doing all that. He said, no, bro, that's just how we work. He said, because, you know, when you grow up back, I forgot what part of Mexico. He said, that's how they eat. They eat communally. If one guy got the job and he calls you, that's his job. So you expect for him to take the lion's share of the money, but he's going to pay you for a day's work based on what you do. And I mean, that just blew my mind. And I was like, so you guys don't argue and fight about the money? He was like, no, what are you arguing for? And he said, your amigo is giving you a day's work of work. He said, and it's much better to have this guy give you work than, you know, the white guy. I said, wow. That's just built in their system. That's built into their culture to cooperate with one another and to work. And it blew my mind. So, you know, so we need to just, like, those are the types of character traits we need to, you know, with one another, instead of like fighting with one another and you know, burning a house down as soon as we disagree. That's not going to benefit us. We're never going to get anywhere. Right now, what has to happen with every black man for himself, every black man or woman for himself. So even in our own families, we got some people who may not be doing as well as others. And we like, well, that's them. I'm going to get mine. And when you get yours, you know, very rarely do we reach back. And even sometimes when we do reach back, what happens? The person doesn't do the right thing. And so that makes us not want to reach back again. And all of those things are cultural. Those are cultural defects. And so we need to address them. And so then once we address the culture with these children, the next thing that we want to do is we want to start getting involved in politics. We want to start playing politics the way that the game really is played. I don't know if you guys, like, really, really pay attention to what's going on. This country is going to hell in a handbasket. And it has nothing to do with Trump. It is the powers that be. It is the elite. These guys are really, really, like, they're making money, like, insane, right, in ways that has never been made ever in the history of humans, right? Like, this dude Jeff Bezos, I think he makes something like $250,000 a minute or something crazy like that. When people start making money like that, and then the gap between the haves and the have-nots gets this wide, they don't really care about what happens to us, right? What they say is, let the government deal with that. So we're talking about the elite. They say, let the government handle that. But what they do is they manipulate the government to make everything more favorable to themselves. So with this new tax cut and all these other things that just happened with these businesses, so it's benefiting people on the lower scale of the economic thing, right, because they're not making that much money and they get to get back, what is it, $6,000 and some change or whatever for the kids. And then you have the people at the top end of the, you know, at the real top end, that are able to pay even less and repatriate their money, all that money they have offshore, they're able to bring it back for at a lower tax rate. It's the people in the middle who are being squeezed. And guess what? Black folks, we're making up the vast majority of that middle. You know, most black folks, like, so the image they show, they try to make us look like we're, you know, like we're poor and destitute, but we're really not. We are really a really solid chunk of that middle class. That's us, right? Because the vast majority of us, we go out there, like we say, and we're going to go get ours, right? And so you may be making 40, 50, 60, 100, you know, 150, $200,000 a year. You're in that middle. You're not all the way at the bottom, and you're not all the way at the top. And they just keep taking the taxes, and they just keep taking away the rights and keep taking away all these other things. And the reason and the biggest thing, the biggest asset that we have, but we keep looking at it as it's like a curse or a problem, is we have a special designation. We let these people come and just start calling every people of color minority. We need to go back to just like, no, we're black. We're black. We're a minority of this country. We dealt with slavery. We have a special designation, and we want special treatment. We want special interest. We don't care about what happens to anybody else. We don't care if it's unfair, because The Jewish people, they go out there, they get their special designation. The LGBT people get their special designation. The people who love guns go through the NRA, they get their special designation. The elites with these multi-billion-dollar companies, they get their special designation. We're the only people who just let, oh, no, we're going to just let everybody, you know, hey, we'll take white women, we'll take this, we'll take that. No, we can't do that anymore. We got to be like, no, it got to be black. That's it. Yes, we suffer slavery. We don't care with the we ooh boo-hoo us. Give us more stuff. That's what they're really doing. Give us stuff that benefits us. But we don't want like handouts that we don't use efficiently. Right? So we don't want like a welfare type thing. What we want is you give us some money and start subsidizing these job training programs specifically for us. Is it Honduras or Argentina, whatever it is, it's one of these minority groups you got me saying minority. One of these Latinos that when Trump said he don't want the people coming in, he's going to build a wall. One of those groups of people, they have a school in Maryland. They use the quote unquote minority designation. And they went and took this center in this school and made it for Spanish people, Spanish Latinos only, but only the ones that they are. So if it's Argentinians, only for Argentinians or whatever. And the name of the school turned to Educacional and, you know, whatever, in Spanish. All the literature is all in Spanish. They're telling you exactly who this thing is for. And they use, they're like outside of Baltimore. They use money that was set aside for, quote unquote, underserved minorities or black people. They use some of that. We all know Baltimore is hurting right now. They're taking some of that government money and they're just making it for themselves. And you know what they're doing with that money? They're training their people to learn English. They're getting them English language. They're using some citizenship stuff and they're doing job training. That's what they're doing with that money. And we need centers like this everywhere, all throughout the country. And we need to, and the way we're going to get that money is through playing the game with lawyers and lobbyists. And then also, and then we need the lawyers and the lobbyists to protect ourselves from these, you know, these racist police officers who just think it's open season on us. Those are the issues that this organization wants to tackle. It is a lot. I know I said a lot. And I know it's going to be a multi-generational goal. What we have to do is we have to get the ball rolling. We have to get the ball rolling. We have to get a system in place. Once everyone sees the system, once everyone understands what their duty is, then the ball will never stop. Perfect example of what I mean by we need a system to get the ball rolling. So, like I said, I threw my back out. I was out with 2-3 weeks or whatever it was. We were not able to have calls. I had people contacting me saying, hey, you know, what's going on with the organization? I also had, and I'm happy to say this, you know, we had about 300 people just send me, hey, praying for you, get better, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. But this is what I have been talking about every single week for the past year and a half. We need a system. I always come on here, I say, this is not the Brother Lou show. This is not about me standing here and saying, hey, let's move forward. It's about having a system, because if something happens to me or something happens to somebody else, the organization still needs to move forward. Our agenda still needs to be accomplished. There's problems that are still going on in Baltimore, still going on in Chicago, still going on in Atlanta, still going on in New York, or it's going on in freaking St. Louis. Those are problems that still need to be solved. Those are problems that are going to, there's problems that's going to arise long after, I've taken this from Brother Leon, long after we go on to glory. There's going to still be problems that need to be solved. So wouldn't it make sense to build a system that solves these problems? There's a system that causes these problems. The powers that be, they started and they created this system, a system of oppression, a system of injustice. Right? They did that. So now we need to counterbalance that. And now is the perfect time in history to do that. You know why? Because everybody is losing their minds right now. Nobody knows what to do. We got white people who think they're black. We got black people who think they're white. It's just crazy right now. So those of us who really know what's going on, Those of us who can see clearly, who can understand what it is I'm trying to communicate, can see this vision, we need to get together. It's not a lot of us. I can promise you that, because we've had millions of people come to the website. Millions. I was looking at the data like today. Millions of people have gone to the website. We've had tens of thousands come on our email list and hundreds become members. So we have very, very small numbers of people who are actually going to take action. So if you are a guest, a new person on this call, and you know you like what we're talking about, let me tell you how you can join us. So as I said, Black Wallets Matter is a member association, which means we ask for membership dues. We have a silver level that starts at $10 a month. We have a gold membership that starts at $25 a month. And we have a platinum membership that's $50 a month. We ask you to come on board at whichever level you feel comfortable. What we wanted to do with this organization, the different membership levels, we're going to have membership perks. The perks were going to be like, you know, coupons and discounts and stuff at your local store. The reason being, because as you're going through grocery shopping, doing whatever it is you're doing, the discounts that you would get would more than pay for your membership dues. Then we also started adding tax deductions, right? So through our nonprofit organization, Wheelchairs Against Guns, your membership dues are actually tax deductible. So you kind of like getting like double or even triple your membership dues back. The problem, the bottleneck that we had is that in order to roll out the membership perks, we need 5,000 members. So what I was going to do was wait till we get 2,000 members and then just pay for the rest, because I figured the snowball would be rolling so fast. That is not where we are currently as an organization. We do not have the membership perks to roll out. We are still working. Actually, I've been working on this the past couple of weeks when I've been down. I've been trying to find smaller packages. It's not going to be as good as the other ones that I wanted, because I wanted to get us perks like a union, right? So I wanted discount medical and dental and vision and plus the shopping. I wanted roadside assistance. I wanted all kinds of cool stuff, as if like you were in like a union or something. So I'm looking at some of these smaller companies now. The perks aren't going to be as fancy, but the value that you will derive from the perks will definitely exceed your membership dues. And then, like I said, whatever membership dues you pay, that will be you will be able to write that off at the end of the year. So you will just have a tax deduction. And so it's essentially like you paid nothing, and you probably actually made money on the deal. That's what we are trying to engineer. By doing that and allowing this organization to have the membership dues flowing, if we were to get, our goal was 5 years to have 1 million members. The average of those three different memberships, the 10, the 25, and the 50, the average is $28. If we were to have 1 million members at $28 a month, that would be $28 million. You multiply $28 million times 12, that's $336 million a year. $336 million a year in revenue. We could buy all the businesses that I told you about, all of these large industries, these community resource centers, all these things that I'm talking about. It is doable. It is doable. We can do it. So this, you know, what we're talking about here is not a pipe dream. We're asking you to become part of something historical, something monumental. But we're very, very practical. We're not thinking about, you know, we're not pie in the sky dreamers. I've been able to do some things in my life, and I've done it in a very methodical way. And that's the way that we plan on attacking some of the things that we want to do within this organization. So if any of that makes sense to you, then like I said, we want to invite you to go to blackwalletsmatter.org. You click the menu button up at the top. There is a video that says the blueprint. That right there will explain everything that I just summarized. It will explain it in excruciating detail with facts and figures and graphs, just to let you know we're not, you know, making any of this stuff up and pulling anything out of our butts. This has all been researched. It's all based on facts, figures, and things like that. And if it makes sense to you, then we invite you to become a member. If you have any questions, then you can press star 6 We're going to put it in Q&A mode now. Hold on for a second. If you do not have any questions in regard to that, then I want to talk about a few things, a few things that, you know, that I think will be of interest. Okay, hold on for a second here. Yeah. Sister Mai. Yes, Sister Mai.
Peace. Good evening and welcome back, Brother Lou. My question, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So my first question is, as it relates to what you're talking about, how we need to be able to, basically it's not the Brother Lou show, and we should be able to have calls probably whether or not you are on those calls. Don't we need a host code in order to use this phone number if someone else, and obviously you, I'm assuming, would appoint a particular person to sort of run it for the week in your absence in the future?
Yeah, we do. This is, so this
is
was,
that what you meant by?
No. What I meant by this. So these calls, right? I don't know if these calls. All right. So let me be honest, right? Because when I speak with Brother Leonard, I tell him this. These calls started off at the beginning for us to, you know, because so our people, you know, we want to see someone, we want to reach out, we want to touch someone, things like that. The problem with these calls is that if you know anything about us as a people, we're very, very temperamental. So someone can come on one of these calls and, you know, I can say that I like blue and they could not like blue, and then they will just run off and not have anything to do with the organization. We, you know, so what I say to Brother Leonard all the time, we don't really necessarily need to be talking to each other about a lot of this stuff either, because our opinions are so different and so varied. Our understanding, our black experience is so different. That's why the way the organization was set up, it was all set up to be autopilot. It was set up to be autonomous and anonymous. Because, yeah, so at the onset, that's how I wanted it. I wanted it autonomous and anonymous. The reason why is because I actually studied a lot of black organizations prior to launching this. I studied black organizations and other organizations. Aside from, like, the church, we don't really have, like, entities. Well, the church and then, like, those fraternities and stuff like that. But we don't have social organizations that work or stay together long. And it's usually because there's some type of disagreement, and then people are like, nah, man, F that, and then, you know, we just burn the house down, or we just, or the organization or whatever is dissolved. What I look at other organizations that are successful, they have bylaws and tenets and like a belief system or whatever it is in place, and everybody moves on code based on that. Mm-hmm. What I realize is we're never going to be able to convince 42 million black folks to change their minds, to, you know, see things my way, your way, or whatever way. Excuse me. That's why I wanted to focus on shopping. Nobody has to be convinced about shopping. No one needs to be told, hey, you know what, you need to feed your kids, go do that. I had to think about a way to get us to unify without actually trying to get us to unify. So now on the calls when we were having the leadership training, those, because that's essentially what those calls were, you saw how many different opinions there were. And then you also saw what happened as we were trying to, you know, put different people in place. There was like misunderstandings and things like that. I want to totally avoid those types of problems. I know they're there. They're just always lurking under the surface with us. It's just the way that we are for now until we're able to train these babies. So my goal was just to get it to the 2,000 members through these calls, however it needs to be, through active marketing. But once it's done, I wanted it to just roll out on autopilot. So we're just doing things. You know, there's news coverage, there's press release, there's whatever going on. We have events where we're having parties and stuff like that. We're having events, and what we're talking about is light and polite. It's not serious, right? So I don't want to have, like, political meetings. I don't want to have, like, you know what? I think the problem is homelessness. No, I think the problem is mental this. No, I think the problem is drugs. I don't want to have, like, those types of discussions because everyone's experience is totally different. I wanted us to just get together on autopilot and only come together, like, to have fun or where everyone is feeling good or there's productivity. So we just got to get to that point. So, you know, so in answer to your question, these calls specifically, you know, I don't think that they're like a linchpin to the organization. There's no way we could do this and grow to 1 million people. There's just no way. It would just be... It would be insane.
Okay, so when you made the statement, I mean, that, you know, when you were sick for 3 weeks or, you know, hurt and unavailable, you didn't really, from what I remember, complete that sentence. You just said, well, you know, this shouldn't be the Brother Lou show. It's not about me. So I made the assumption that you were saying we should have kept going whether you were here or not, but in what way? If it's not via the phone calls, then what exactly were you? Can you just complete that thought that you started with that statement?
Well, I'm just talking about the system of what the organization should be doing. So right now, right, we don't have, so in order to, all of the things that we talked about doing, right, you need money to do it. That's exactly what actually Black Wallets Matter means. It means that we have to start being serious about our money, and if we want to do the things that we have to do, then our Black Wallets Matter. Our money is going to make the difference. And
right, so that brings into my
question. Hold on. So right now, you know, when we have our members call, you know, we don't have enough members to do the things that we want to do. So it's not, so this, the organization is not really going to roll on all autopilot now, not as I initially envisioned it. I got to try to find another way, which is I'm thinking about it. It's always in the back of my mind every day, once I realized that this wasn't going to cut it. So I'm trying to, and actually, and this really is a topic for like a members call, to be honest with you. But this is something that has just been in the back of my mind of trying to figure out a way to grow on autopilot, because what you guys don't see, like, I see every single little thing. So we lost members the few days that I was off, right? But they were people who weren't really like coming on the calls frequently anyway, right? We have people, we have a 90-day money back guarantee. Like, you can get a refund 90 days. You have people doing like chargebacks for like two payments. Like, you could have just asked, got it back. So every time we get a chargeback, we get charged extra money, more than what was their membership. Like, all kinds of stupid stuff happens. And I just want to get away from all of that. I want to just make this thing, like, I know what it is. I know what it is that needs to be done. I just have to find a new way, because I realistically didn't think it would take us this long to get the 2,000 founder members. I thought Black folks was like so ready. We had so many cop killings. We had so, like, it was to the point where it forced me to do something. And I'm normally like laid back. Like, I'm like one of those people, you know, like how everybody else. Now I'm going to get mine. You know, I was getting mine. And it was just, the stuff was happening so much. I was like, nah, I got to do something. And, you know, this is where Black Wallets Matter came. And so I thought everybody else, I thought there was enough of us to go do that. And I knew that I could get, you know, I knew that I could get eyeballs. I knew I could get the message out there. And we have. But again, you know, the friction is like, it's something that, you know, something that's not gravitating. So realistically speaking, I'm still working on what that system would be. I'm just saying that the overall goal, though, is to make sure that it is a system, to make sure that it's not depending, you know, that it's not dependent upon one person or one even small group of people, to make sure that there are bylaws, make sure that people are able to be interchangeable. Got it? I think we lost her. Okay, I think we lost her.
Hello? No, I'm sorry. Yep. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. I do. I understand. And then my last question then is regarding the shopping, and because you like, you don't have to convince us to shop, it's something we do, but I guess it's more of a comment than a question, or a rhetorical question anyway. Why do we have to be compensated or rewarded or reimbursed or incentivized in any other way, especially monetarily, to give towards a cause that we sign up for because we say we believe in it and we know that we this is something we need to do for our community? Like, I just don't get that part. I don't feel like I should have to, yet you have to pay me to join you, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't really understand that, because, like, to me, that's sort of like when you give to India or in Africa or whatever, they show you all these starving kids and they tell you, you know, if you give $20 a month, you can help clothe this person for the next year. But then 90% of it is going towards administrative fees and mailing costs and blah, 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 blah to run it. And you're, you know, at the end of the day, your $20 ends up being $2 that actually gets to, you know, the cause that you're giving for. And so when I hear you saying that those types of things, like, we get the coupons and this and that, and we have and it costs so much money to even run the source, the engine that allows us to get reimbursed when we shop on Amazon or, you know, or whatever platforms we're shopping through. Like, there's a cost to run that too. Then it's like, how much of our money is actually going towards building the resource centers and you know what I'm saying, and investing into the community and buying buildings and stuff that are going to create jobs for our people, when we're, you know, when it looks like all the fluff, there's a percentage of that money that's going to all the other stuff. Like, am I making sense?
No, you are. Listen, yeah, you are, but it's, I'll tell you, I'll keep it 100 with you, because we don't have, because we have a lack of trust. That's why. We have a lack of trust as a people. So we're not, you know, like Jewish people, right? The synagogues, they go, they give their money, so they pay membership to the synagogue. They go, they get their spiritual edification, but then they also go, like, and have parties and all this other stuff. But then they also, a part of that money also goes to fund businesses and, you know, build up their communities and all these other different things. They just, that's just their nature. This is not our nature. So we have to build something to show our people first. And it's hard, right? And I'm just trying to figure out every single way to circumvent that. A lot of our people, so they, you know, the churches, so there's a lot of backlash at the churches right now, right? Because they're like, listen, you've been in the community all this time, and hey, what's going on? We need something. Our communities are just deteriorating more and more and more, and you guys keep getting money. What's going on? It's a lot of different reasons. So my plan is to, we need, you know, I said this on the call before my back went out. We need a cash cow, right? So the cash cow is something that generates fat, juicy profit. And it allows you to go and make other strategic investments. So like Amazon, right? So Amazon, the actual company, is losing its – it doesn't make that much money when it sells you the products and all of this. It has another business called AWS, Amazon Web Services. And that is the cash cow. The profits are crazy, juicy, and fat. And so they're able to use that plus the money that they get from investors from Wall Street to just keep – giving people, you know, making 50 cents on a freaking $200 purchase or whatever else, just to keep the customers, to keep the money going. We need something like that. The membership dues will be our cash cow, right? The reason we were talking about laminated membership cards and, you know, a whole big welcome package and, you know, all of this other stuff. So Brother Cujo and I, right, some months back, and so we were going through all of that. to print that stuff up and get it out there,
right.
It would be something like $19 or $17. Right, it's just basically not worth it, right? Basically, right. It wouldn't be worth it. So with this model, if you're able to go to, I'm sorry?
It shouldn't be needed. That's what I'm saying. Like you said, this organization is not for everybody. And I just feel like if people are joining to get something, then they don't need to be a part of it. I mean, that's just.
But it's easy to say that when that's your mentality, when that's your thing. But it's harder on this side because you got to remember. So, like you just said, the administrative fees and all this. This organization doesn't take that. The organization, I don't get paid for doing any of this, and I'm always working on Black Wall Street. I stop what I'm doing in the middle of my personal life to take calls and to take care of things with the organization, and I don't get paid for it. I don't get compensated for it. So it has to. We just have to get to a certain level. And so if that means that someone who understands or believes the idea, they can see the vision, but they still have that little lack of trust, we have to give them something to overcome that hurdle, because at the end of the day, it's money. Like,
okay,
we can't
so why don't
act
we
like
start
we don't
with what you mentioned as far as us doing, like, literally have get-togethers, have some big, like, celebration
because
we're coming together all over the country, and you have to pay to do that.
Yeah,
and
because,
then that
because
it could
you're
be,
talking about event. You're talking about promoting it. You're talking about promoting an event. Promoting events aren't cheap. You're talking about renting a venue. You're talking about making
sure. No, no, but that's what I'm saying. Charge people to come. That's going to cover all those costs in addition to, you know, there'll be extra to go towards the organization. I just think if it's something, like you said, people have to see, feel, touch, whatever. I think more of the lack of trust comes from because we haven't seen each other face to face, or you can't reach out and touch.
Event promotion is, unless you're experienced, and I'm not experienced in event promotion is a very risky business. There's a lot of people who, because basically that's what you're talking about. You're talking about promoting an event. So you're
yeah, but that, just and on the same platform that you promote this, like you said, you've had millions of people look at the website. Well, out of those millions of people, it boiled down to 100 people joining. But had that been an event, or if you promote the event just on the same platforms in the way that you're promoting the call, then I think you would have, you may go from 100 people to 1,000 people because people are like, at least I get to see. If I can go and touch, see, feel, talk to this brother in person, shake hands, whatever, and see what other type of the mindset other people have, and I can talk to them face to face, then I'll join. And yeah, I'm all about it, it's just an idea. It was one that, when you mentioned that that's something that ultimately maybe members will do, and when we do, we'll come together to have fun. I just thought, why not have it so that it's more of like a membership drive type of event as well, and then we can, all pay. I mean, you just have to pay a certain amount to attend in the first place, and that amount you pay, obviously, like I said, covers your expenses plus some to add to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, I'm not an event promoter, so that's not my wheelhouse. So I wouldn't go out. I know you have to secure a venue. I know you have to put some money down to secure a venue, and all of that. So, but it's just, like I said, that's just not my wheelhouse. So, my brain doesn't go to say, let me go and try to do something that I've never done and say, this is the way how it's going to get done. I know that people get up and they go and they shop. People get up and they go, I'm just using what people actually do. You get up and you got to go buy groceries. If I can get you a discount for your groceries week after week, month after month, it's worth it for you. Hey, it's the $10, $25, $50 or whatever a month. It's worth it to you. You can actually use that. You can derive the value. You can see that. And once we have that, a lot of people who are doing that, because that's exactly how. So I paid attention to people who have unified us. So people say, Black folks aren't unified. Yeah, we are, because Walmart has unified us and taken our money. These Korean hair salon, beauty supply stores have unified us and taken our money. These Arabs with their corner stores and all of this stuff and chicken spots, they have unified us and took our money. They don't make a big fanfare and all of this stuff. What they do is they just provide us with services And the way they take our money, they just look at their margin. And that's what I want to do. I just want to pay attention and look at what has already been successful. I don't want to, like, reinvent the wheel or try to come up with something, you know, something just way out the way. And again, like I told you, you know, having people come out and actually meet, and you're going to have some folks who just don't agree. They just don't see eye to eye. And now you're talking about a bunch of black folks drinking too? Holy cow. not when we're trying to get us together to do, you know, all of that. If it's all funny games, yeah. But when we're trying to get work done, I'd rather not take that route. So thank you, Sister Mai. Do you have anything else?
Well, I don't really see the difference in what you were saying in terms of getting work. I wasn't saying getting work done in a way that it leaves room for those types of conversations. And, I mean, people are going to have one-on-one conversations, you know, if sparks fly, that's going to be on them. But I don't see that that's a – I'm not saying have a meeting where you're the type of conversation or whatever you're saying is done and all. I'm just saying a social thing, exactly like you were saying. I'm just saying a social thing, but charge. I mean, any party you go to, there's a cover charge. So, you know, just be a bigger price, a bigger ticket, because it'd be a nicer venue and blah, blah, blah. And they'd understand that the excess is going back towards the organization. But like I said, I was beaming off of what you already put out there on both fronts and just thought how they could possibly be enhanced, but you're not feeling it. So I understand. Thanks.
All right.
That's all I got.
Okay. Brother Vaughn.
All right. What's going on, Brother Lou? Good to have you back. Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, brother.
listening, I guess, to y'all back and forth and I guess understanding both sides, like I was just discussing with my friend, like I understand exactly what you're saying and where you're coming from in the aspect of really that's not what you do. Like that part of it is, and I like the cost and things of that nature. But even with that, it's not that you're not like shunning it or saying like it's not something we can do. It's not like a thing that you're etching off the table. It's just like we can do it. Like we as a whole, like those who are on the call and those of us that got that type of, I guess, it's something that we do. Like, you know, that type of promotion, and we see the outcome of that type of thing, and that, like, is something that we kind of do, and that's the way we, like, get things around. And, you know, like she said, people want to see and feel and touch and, you know what I mean, be one-on-one with a lot of things so they can get a better understanding of what's going on if it's done in that nature. So with that being said, like, that's something that as Black Wallace Matter members, like founding members ourselves, it's something that we should be trying to get together then. Like we as a whole, those of us who do that and promote things and have that type of thing, find venues and all that, we can do it. We can put it together and we'll let everybody know how it's going and where it's going to be at and all that stuff and put it together like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So that's something else. If you have an idea for recruiting members or getting people involved, then by all means, you can do that in a local area. Like, so, right. So if you have, right, you know, so if someone has experience with putting on events, so we had a sister who was experienced doing the event. She was the one who was going to coordinate these things before, because that idea was brought up before. I was like, I have no idea how to coordinate those types of things. I do know it's going to take money. I feel really comfortable when I have a lot of money to mess up. When I don't have money to mess up, then I'm like really cautious, right? So, but the sister that we had, she was an event coordinator, event promoter, or whatever. But then what happened is, as we had that conversation, it actually evolved into the ambassadorship program, right? And so the ambassadorship program, if you guys remember, was where people were to create local chapters in their own area where you can just go out. You don't have to, like I said, you know, you can go out there and pull just some brothers and sisters together and talk to them about what's going on in the community. And you can create change in your local community. You don't have to wait on me. You can invite them on these calls, or you guys could go, I mean, like, you know, for the members here, you guys have been on these calls a lot. So you pretty much know everything that this organization is about. You can be able to talk to people intelligently. But what I noticed, I mean, I knew this was going to happen when the sister was talking about it. Most people, they're just not promoters, right? So people just don't really go out recruiting you, like me, right? I don't care. I would be out with my family and have, like, flyers in my back pocket and just, like, start passing flyers out to people as we're going in the restaurant, the movie, or something like that. Like, that's my personality. I do stuff like that. That's not every, you know, most people aren't like that. And so when we would, one of the criteria for the ambassadorship program, it was to just get out there and go and start speaking to people in your community. And we were having a problem with that. So I said, listen, I can help you find people in your community because of the type of marketing that we're doing as an organization. And then I said, here's some ideas that you can, you know, that you could use to, like, recruit and bring people on. So that's where we had, like, the landscaping business and the, you know, the cleaning stuff and all that other stuff. And people were like, yeah. When I was like, all right, cool. Here's the write-up. Here's all the suggestions everyone had, you know, came up with. Here's a formal presentation of how to go do it. Well, people went out there and we weren't that successful. So, basically, like, I got a lot of stuff already on my plate. So I can't go and, like, organize your chapter in Cincinnati, another chapter in, you know, in Philly, and another chapter here and another chapter there, right? I can't just do all of that in you know, from where I am, because you know, I don't know, you know, most of you guys know I'm a single father, so I have kids, little kids, and, you know, I have to get my kids up and take them to school and, you know, do all of that stuff. That right there takes up a vast majority of my time, not to mention my personal business, and then the organization. So when people are able to get up and move around and do some of the things that they want to do, by all means, you don't have to wait on me. You can just get up and do what you have to do. That's just the beauty of it. That's the beauty of this organization. That if the points make sense to you, you know, so that's just what I wanted to communicate, man.
Right, and that's basically what I was saying, you know, because I was, like, listening to the call, and I was telling my friend, like, you know, that was something that I wanted to do, and basically it's something I'm going to do for the Cincinnati area. Like, I got a campaign, this thing is eating me up, you know, and it's like, I understand where you coming from, so I got a total understanding of that, but it's not holding us back from doing it, you know. It's not like you're saying, like, no, Black Wall Matter ain't going to do something of that nature. It's basically, that's not what you do. If we've organized it and put it together and, you know, we bring all the notes and everything that we got to everybody and let everybody know what it is and all that, it should run fine.
Okay. Excellent, brother. Excellent.
I just want to say,
thank you.
No doubt.
All right. So really quick, what I wanted to bring to everyone's attention, Wells Fargo is committing. So I don't know if you guys see that Wells Fargo just had to pay, like, some big crazy fines or whatever it is for some type of fraud that they were doing in terms of their accounts. But they are also, you know, I guess, like, for goodwill, they are committing $60 billion to home ownership for African Americans. So they want to get 250,000 new black homeowners by 2027. So, like I was saying, you know, if you guys are paying attention to the economy, you're paying attention to what's happening with the powers that be, they are the gap between the haves and the have-nots is getting wider and wider. It's just crazy right now. So, you know, if you guys want to start paying attention, you know, if you guys want to just start getting a foothold and creating your own personal wealth, your own personal growth, or, you know, something for your kids, then that may be something to look into. You could possibly use it to take advantage of buying a second property. So a strategy that you can use if you live, like, in a city, right? So if you live, like New York or one of these places where buying a house is just outrageously expensive and it just makes sense to rent, you could possibly look into one of these smaller markets where, so, like, Indianapolis is a really good market where homes are affordable. You can get one of these loans. They're going to be, I think they're going to be like 3% or 5% down or whatever it is. And then you can try to put every single extra dollar that you can into paying that house off. You know, they say real estate always goes up. It's not always true. But what happens is if you're able to get this, if you're able to get some property and have it where it's paid off, then your family will be able to reap the benefits of that going forward. So that's an asset. That's a cash flow asset. And essentially what you will be doing is just, like I was saying, taking advantage of some of these loopholes and some of these things that they have set aside for us. If they're going to be giving out $60 billion, you, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is, maybe I get two or three of these, and you use their money to start building, you know, your wealth. So that's, I just wanted to share that little piece of information with anyone. And listen, like I said, we don't have to wait, you know, the whole till 11 o'clock, 2 hours for this call. If no one has anything else that they want to add, then we can end the call early tonight. So if no one else has anything they want to contribute, then, you know, if no one has anything that they want to contribute, then we can end the call early. All right, so no one has anything they want to, so we're going to end this call. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for hanging out with us tonight, and I will send an email and let you guys know what's going on. Actually, I'm getting a little spasm on my back right now as I'm talking, so I'll let you guys know what's going on for next week. And for the members, I'll let you know when we're going to have our next members call. Brother Leon has something that he wants to share with the organization. So we will, you know, we'll talk about that then. All right. Good night, everyone. Good night,
brother.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Have a good one.
You can definitely talk.
Okay.